Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. In our penultimate show, we look at how age composition shaped up this summer. An unexpectedly large return of one age class may have pushed up Igigig's run. We also hear from a controversial set net site on the east side and have an update on Pebble Mine's financial standing. It's Wednesday, July 31st. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. Coming up tonight, this season had several surprises, from huge harvests to thermal barriers and late runs. And 2019's age composition was no exception. We talked to a biologist from the University of Washington about the unexpected returns and what they mean.
So we've seen over the last 3 years, basically, higher production of that 1-2 age class, suggesting fish have done fairly well during their first 2 years at sea and are returning at 2 years rather than 3 years in the ocean.
Over on the east side, we hear from KDLG's Sage Smiley about a messy situation at a setnet site at Graveyard Point.
Part of the problem is that they are technically trespassing every year when they go up there, and so it poses a bit of a problem for this environmental cleanup plan.
And we take a look at the financial implications of the EPA's withdrawal of a proposed restriction on Pebble Mine.
You saw it in the market. Our shareholders felt this was a major impediment, and clearing it was a major milestone, certainly for everybody.
Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
We're going to kick off tonight's show with a look at age composition. Igigig's harvest went well beyond the preseason forecast. The last daily run summary put its total harvest at 14.7 million fish. That's the largest in the bay this summer and the third largest harvest in the history of that district. According to Curry Cunningham, a biologist with the University of Washington, that was due to an unusually high return of age 1-2 fish to the district.
You know, our preseason forecast for the Igigig district had about 38% 1-2s. But the observed return exhibited a much higher proportion of 1-2s, so about 74% 1-2s in the catch and 85% 1-2s in the escapement.
There was a similar pattern in the Nishigak. 1-3s were expected to make up 3/4 of the run due to the high 1-2 production last year. That suggests that fish hatched in 2014 had good survival conditions.
But in reality, what we saw in the Nishigak district is that it was a fairly even mix of 1-2s and 1-3s.
This is the third year of big returns for 1-2s. Over the past decade, the average return of that age class has been around 33%, or 1/3 of the total run. But in 2017, the 1-2 return ticked up to over half of the run, and last year that number rose to 58%.
So we've seen over the last 3 years, basically, higher production of that 1-2 age class, suggesting fish have done fairly well during their first 2 years at sea and are returning at 2 years rather than 3 years in the ocean.
Biologists are still trying to understand why the fish have been doing so well in the ocean. Cunningham says that warmer freshwater can have a positive effect on survival rates for salmon. Warmer years bring earlier ice outs, a longer growing season, and more food for juvenile salmon. That could increase the size of the young salmon swimming out to sea.
At a larger size, they might be better able to avoid predators, find food, and may have higher survival overall.
After a certain point, the temperature can negatively impact survival in both freshwater and marine environments. Still, increased temperature in freshwater habitat has been beneficial for the 1-2s returning over the past 3 years. Graveyard Point has been a setnet site for decades, even as the land has changed hands and the once functional cannery has deteriorated. Now the Graveyard Point site is undergoing an environmental assessment. I called up KDLG's Sage Smiley to hear about what's going on at Graveyard. Hey, Sage.
Hey there, how's it going?
It's going well. So, can you break down the situation in Graveyard Point for us?
Totally. So basically, a little while back, we heard that there were some environmental complaints filed about the Graveyard Point site, which is a site north of here in Naknek that people go to set net every year. It's an abandoned cannery. I looked into it. I did some documents requests. And what I found is that there haven't been any complaints specifically filed. What I'd heard was that there had been complaints specifically filed against set netters for leaving trash around and stuff, which is, of course, a thing that happens. I mean, it's a pretty out-of-the-way site, and there's definitely trash that piles up every year. But what I found is that there's an ongoing environmental investigation by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. They're working with the landowners, which are Ward's Cove, which is, I think, managed by Nestle. And then also Pogvik owns some of the land right around the cannery site. There's an environmental investigation, and there is a plan to clean up that site. The final work plan was released in March of this year, and the plan was to kind of go ahead and work around the set netters this year and next year and the year after, because the set netters, I mean, have been going there for 60 or 70 years, but part of the problem is that they are technically trespassing every year when they go up there. And so it poses a bit of a problem for this environmental cleanup plan that the ADEC and Nestle and Ward's Cove and Pogvik are all kind of trying to work with.
So a lot of moving parts there. Were you able to talk to any of the fishermen who set net there?
So I contacted a lot of fishermen. I wasn't able to really get much of a sense of things from any of them except for one who said that he had heard nothing, which was really interesting to me because the schedule of this environmental cleanup included community outreach this year. And so the plan was to kind of reach out to the set netters and coordinate with them this year what was going to be happening next year, because the environmental testing and like the beginnings of the cleanup process basically are supposed to happen next year. And so I was interested to hear, I mean, granted only from one person, but from a set netter who has set net at Graveyard for a while, that he had heard nothing about any of this environmental cleanup stuff.
So what is next for Graveyard Point and for the people who fish there and for the agencies that are trying to get it cleaned up?
They're mostly looking at the cannery. They're not looking as much at the trash that comes in every year with the set netters. They're looking at old, they're taking soil samples and groundwater samples and kind of looking at more longer term environmental impacts of the cannery falling apart. And so then that will happen theoretically next year, before the fishing season, and then after the fishing season, there will be risk determinations, and they'll kind of start to make a plan for how they're actually going to clean up the site, and then theoretically in 2021 is when they will start to kind of clean up Graveyard Point. And even though I read through hundreds of pages of documents about this, it's still a little bit unclear how they'll be working with or working around set netters. There are definitely lots of references to the fact that set netters are there, that it's a really important place for people to fish, that they've been fishing there a long time, but it's sort of unclear, other than the fact that it seems like they're going to try and work around the fishing season, how fishing will be impacted longer term.
Well, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that situation, and we really appreciate you taking some time to look into it for us. Thanks so much, Sage.
Thanks.
On Tuesday, the EPA threw out proposed restrictions that could have put a stop to the Pebble Mine project. With a potential hurdle out of the way, shares in the company that owns Pebble saw a boost. KDLG's Alex Hager has more.
If you were watching the stock market on Tuesday, you would have noticed a big jump for the symbol NAK. That's Northern Dynasty Minerals, the company responsible for the Pebble Mine project. And the price of their shares grew more than 60% in one day. The surge came on the heels of news that the Environmental Protection Agency withdrew proposed restrictions on the mining project. As the Pebble project has been caught up in controversy for years, the value of the company's shares has stayed low and hasn't seen a boost of this magnitude in over 2 years. Northern Dynasty CEO Ron Thiessen says the stock movement reflects investor optimism that the project is on the right course.
You saw it in the market. Our shareholders felt this was a major impediment, and clearing it was a major milestone.
Not everyone shares that positive outlook. Norm Van Vactor, president of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, thinks Tuesday's movement on the markets was just a knee-jerk reaction to the day's headlines, and he still sees plenty of significant obstacles to the mine's development.
At the end of the day, again, I have a high degree of confidence that science and reason will prevail. Certainly not where I would be putting my retirement funds, or even my play money if I had any.
KDLG reached out to a number of different stock analysts for this story, but they all declined to comment. Northern Dynasty shares haven't seen much action amid fears that the project would get halted by environmental regulations, but Thiessen says certain worries about the mine's impact on Bristol Bay are unfounded.
People shouldn't have been scared away, and our share price shouldn't have been depressed because people don't tell the truth about the impact of the potential impact of this project on the fishery.
Again, Van Vactor disagrees. He's holding out hope that the permitting process will take scientific findings into account and keep the project from getting too far.
This is another bump in the road. We've seen a lot of them before, and we'll see more in the future. But at the end of the day, I'm again, very optimistic that science and truth will prevail.
Northern Dynasty stock was hovering around 80 cents a share as of Wednesday afternoon. The next major step in the permitting process comes in early 2020 when the Army Corps of Engineers expects to release its final environmental review. In Dillingham, I'm Alex Hager.
Support comes from the International Maritime Group. IMG is a law firm that provides Alaskan vessel owners and charterers with tailored legal services. IMG specializes in charter party agreements, crew contracts, shipyard agreements, and indemnity provisions. More about IMG at maritime.law.
That just about does it for the show tonight. In the Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast, tonight an east-southeast wind at 10 to 15 knots, scattered rain mainly before 10 p.m. with patchy fog after 10 p.m. and seas at 2 feet. Thursday, a variable wind at 5 knots or less, patchy fog before 10 a.m. with seas at 1 foot or less, and Thursday night, southwest wind at 5 to 10 knots, mostly cloudy with seas at 1 to 2 feet. If you have any thoughts or feedback on the show this summer or would like to be in our final show, please give us a call at 907-842-5281 or email us at fish@kdlg.org. Thank you to everyone who stayed with us this summer, and tune in for the final Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on Friday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. For our fishing song tonight, we have Life on the Road from Bristol Bay's own Emma Hill. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here one last time on Friday.
If you live your life on the road, then you live your life on the ground. Count your days from station to station, mountain passes, dust and stages. I could try and settle down, make your heart my home, but God only knows where the time would take us. Just when I think I'm tired, ready to sit still, then I miss burning up my tires. And these battered suitcase wheels, oh, the blossoms, they all bloom. Flying through spring air, and I am jealous of the freedom, how they fall without a care. Bet you wouldn't catch me if I fell. Maybe I'm afraid that you will. But if you live your life avoiding love, then you live your life so scared of broken hearts and codependent. That beating in your chest and the feelings that come with it, I could try and settle down, make your heart my home, but God only knows where the time would take us. Just when I think I'm tired.